Ancient Warfare, the Knossos Restorations. Without a doubt, the most controversial part of the Knossos excavation was the reconstructions of parts of the palace by Arthur Evans. When Sherry and I were at Knossos in 2017, the archaeologists were still criticizing the decision, even though the tourists, for the most part, enjoy it, because it does help to set the feeling you are really experiencing the past palace. Now, how did this all come about? Evans realized almost from the start of his excavations at Knossos that there would be a need for conservation and consolidation of the ruins of the palace. The Minoans used lots of very beautiful but fragile gypsum for making floors, column bases, door jams, and wall facades. Of course, this was all exposed to the weather conditions and so needed to be protected. That is, while the excavation's going on. Evans' initial efforts, which was limited to the use of wooden props to support the superstructure, soon collapsed due to the great weight of the roofs, as well as regional climate changes which rotted the timbers. After 1925, the restoration work on the palace became bolder, as well as more extensive. The technique of reinforced concrete played a decisive role. Originally, Evans had used the same raw materials as the Minoan architects had: porous stone, gypsum, and wood. During the second restoration period, Evans used new building materials to copy the ancient material and then painted them. Whether you think he was either justified or not in doing this, it is nevertheless true that the restoration was carried out in such a manner that today the ancient and modern form a uniform whole. But still, it's open to weather, it's damaged by the huge crowds that come to visit Knossos, and now the reconstructions require continual care and conservation themselves. And one of the biggest problems is Greece has had such economic issues that there's just a finite and a very small amount of money available. And in some cases, the archaeologists are really frustrated in having to spend archaeological money on restoring the restorations of Evans. So there's a lot of heated debate over it. Many believe Evans' greatest mistake was the extensive use of materials that have no resistance to time, cement and iron. Once again, we're picking on people with, they're using the best that was available to them. And we know that the iron issue is really a problem because the Parthenon, and they did restoration in the Parthenon early on, they used iron fittings, and of course that rusted and stained the stone, so they have to take it apart, clean it, and then use titanium. But that didn't exist when they were trying to do that. So it's always problematic. Now, after World War II, the Greek Archaeological Service of Crete, working with the directors for the restoration of ancient monuments, made new efforts to halt the deterioration that was already visible. The repair work, which envisioned the restoration of the gypsum elements of the palace, finally replaced the most damaged parts by using new material from local quarries that had been used during the actual Minoan period. We know this is the best way to go, because stone isn't stone. Stone is made out of different chemical compositions. And if you put stone of a different chemical composition on the other stone, it'll literally reject it, such as in the Sphinx in Egypt. And which is why we do a lot of restoration, hopefully, by figuring out what the original quarry is. For example, the Parthenon, the quarry that marble came from, still exists, and they still use it in Athens. You have Michelangelo, he loved Carrara marble, so most of his statues are made out of Carrara marble. So if one of those gets broken, you can get a replacement piece you know, and so forth. Now, subsequent procedures adopted the principle of partially consolidating the more fragile sections of the palace and protecting them with light shelters. I know when we were in the one section, they have little walls with the plastic over the top or tin over the top of them to kind of protect it, which is, it doesn't look great from on top, but it certainly does protect it. And when you get down into it, you really don't notice it. Recent history of the collapse of the Greek economy, as I said, in 2010, saw the excavation at Knossos greatly consolidating the site. And it's still supervised by the Archaeological Service of Herculon and funded by national as well as European resources. When the economy collapsed in 2018, when we were there, it was still 26% unemployment. It became difficult just to maintain the sites, let alone do the new excavations. When we were at Knossos, I mean, they were, you know, if you haven't been there, they're not that extensive. You have the one section where you have the bull, and you have a couple of other sections, and they restored the throne room, which is done very, very nicely. But it really helps, you know, give you that idea that you're in the palace during its height, and the excavation continues on. I mean, and they really have a lot of visitors there. The one problem that you have, and you have this no matter where you go, is when you have a large tour group led by one individual, because these sites are not really designed for huge groups. Groups of five, group of six, that's okay. 20, 25, now you're really blocking up, jamming everything. And sometimes, depending on when you get to the site, you know, I kind of like to use the flow. So as I'm taking my pictures, you get the feeling that you're walking through the palace in a pretty orderly fashion. But we had several times where the group would be in one section for 25 minutes, and you just go on to another spot and come back. Now, fortunately, at night, my wife and I put our pictures together, and I organize them on the computer so I can figure out where everything went, but sometimes that's difficult to do. So, you know, if you've gone to Pella, for example, is for the most part just pretty much flat, with the short foundations as excavated as they found it. And it would be nice if you would have a couple of buildings restored. Delos is pretty much the same way. All those buildings are much larger. Amphitheaters are always good. Amphitheaters, odeons, gymnasiums, those usually tend to survive pretty well. Therefore, you know, you get a bigger picture of what the place looked like. But it is well worth going to Crete to visit Knossos. I've not been to Phaistos and some of the other places. It's another trip to come back and do that. There's quite a few things that we still haven't seen. But if you go to Crete, I would suggest, I think it works out either way. Go to the site and see it. But you make sure you go to the museum and see the artifacts that would have been there. Because literally every major object that's associated with that palace is in the museum. Now, going to the museum first and then going out to the site, I don't think that's quite as beneficial than, because when you go on the site, for example, the room where they have markings where they found different items. On the other side, now, there were some objects that were found at a couple of sites just away from the main palace, which are accessible to tourists, if you knew that. And I may have gone to one or two of those sites had I known about those particular objects. So it's kind of everybody's choice, but certainly see both of them. It's like when you go to Pompeii. To go to Pompeii, either see the museum first in Naples or afterwards, because you don't get the full view of it without the objects. And they have objects there, but the originals are all in the museums. And you should also probably check Herculaneum, because it's a smaller area that has some really good work as well. So this finishes the Minoans at this point. And our sources for this have been the Minoans, Life in the Bronze Age, Crete, by Castleton, Knossos, A New Guide to the Palace of Knossos by Tzourkas, Knossos Before the Palaces by Wilson, and The Palace of Minos at Knossos, 4 volumes by Arthur Evans. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.